just want to say, just with your heads bowed, eyes closed, and thank you so very much for your continued support during this time. For those that you that are still at home, so grateful that you're continuing to be with us, contacting us, giving. And I just want to thank the Lord for the blessing of just what God has done through your giving. And I just want to just say during this giving moment right now that that God would bless you. That God would bless you as you go online, as you write a check, as you leave cash in one of the boxes. Just want to say thank you for your consistency in your giving. It's been a blessing to our church during this time. I'm just really, really grateful for it. And I say thanks to you. And I say thanks to God. And I know that for many of us, 2020 has not been easy. It's been hard. We've run the gamut of emotional up and down. We've struggled during some really hot spots during this year and with this election. But I'm just going to tell you, I thank God for 2020. I thank God for it. I thank God for the hard times. I thank God for the uncertainty. I thank God for the temptations to walk in fear, the temptation to move in places that we don't need to be moving. I just thank God for it. I thank God for the testing. I thank God for the trial and the struggle today. Because it's in the trial and the struggle that we put our eyes on Him and He moves and He does miraculous things. He brings an incredible peace when the whole world is in chaos. He brings a certain kind of joy where there's no joy. The hope of the ages where there's no hope. This great God is worthy of our praise. And He's worthy of our thanksgiving. To thank Him in the hard and the difficult, in the good and the beautiful and the ugly alike. To be able to say to God, You are Lord, You are on Your throne, and we thank You. No matter what's happening, no matter what's taking place, no matter what we're hearing, no matter what we're assuming, we give thanks and we praise our great God. Because You're worthy of it, Lord. You're worthy of it. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, as we open the Word today and we talk about these things of giving thanks in everything, to know that this is the will of God for us. That this great God, You come and You make all things new when things seem so old. You bring them bring all things fresh when they seem so stale and so rotten. You're a great, mighty God. And Your times, in Your epochs, Father, are established in Your time, in Your moments. And I just want to thank You for that today. And Lord, You're in control, that You're Lord, and we thank You today. And I pray, God, as we move through this Word, that You'd wash us and You'd sanctify us and You'd give us some practical ways to move from this place to walk in thanksgiving, no matter what's happening in our lives. And I ask You'd be glorified in it. And I ask, God, that You'd bring miracles because of it. That supernatural things would happen to us when we choose to thank You for everything. There is such power in thank You. And I pray, God, that You'd form this message in our hearts and that, Father, we'd never forget it. And we'd always use the principles in Your Word from this time forth. And I want to thank You for how You're going to work and how You're going to move. In Jesus' name, and for His great sake, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 16 through 19, but we're gonna camp out on verse 18. I believe there's supernatural power in the two words, thank you. Did you hear that? I believe that there's supernatural power in the two words that say thank you, the giving of thanks. I came to believe this and see this in a very practical way in the fall of 2011 and into the winter and to the spring of 2012. It's what I call the beginning of my thank you journey. If you're new to us, you don't know this, but I kind of do my New Year's resolutions on my birthday, which is October 21st. And I kind of, I get a new journal, and I write in the back of that journal the things that I just really want to ask God to believe, that what I believe that God wants to do this next year in my life and the life of my family and the life of our church. And I've been doing that consistently for many, many, many years. New journal, a couple of days before, writing out just what I'm asking God to do. And in this particular year, 2011, I decided that I'd not do that. I'd get a new journal, but I just didn't want to do it this time like that. But what I did was I wrote on the 21st of 2011, this is what I wrote in the back of my journal. I just want to do these four things the rest of my life. I just want to do these four things the rest of my life. These are the new goals of my life. I want to give thanks in and for everything in my life. I want to give thanks. I want to thank God for the good. I want to thank God for the bad. I want to thank God for the ugly. I want to thank God for the beautiful. I just want to thank God. I want to thank God even if when it doesn't make sense for a daddy or a man or like to thank God. I just want to thank him. I want to thank God. And the second thing I wrote is I want to confess Jesus as Lord in every circumstance, and I want to confess him in the moment. I don't want to have to think about it. That whatever's happening, that whatever God's doing, I want to thank him, and I want to say, you're Lord. You are Lord over this. You are Lord over my life. You are Lord over these gifts. You are Lord of this lack. You're the Lord of this loss. I thank you for it, and you are Lord. The third thing that I wrote is I just want to love well in every circumstance. Not only do I want to thank him, not only do I want to say he's Lord, but I want to love well in every circumstance. Because you know, when you're thanking God in the midst of hard stuff, sometimes it's hard to love people in the midst of hard stuff, even when hard stuff is coming from people. But God, I just said, God, I just want to do that. I just want to love well, no matter what the circumstance. And it's kind of the same kind of mantra. Whatever's good, whatever is hard, whatever is wrong, whatever is right, whatever, God, I want to love you with all my heart. And I want to love my neighbor as myself, whoever my neighbor is in that moment. And the fourth thing I wrote down is, God, I just want to be led by your Spirit every day. In every way. Because I know when I'm led by this, look at me. When I'm led by the carton, right? Let me ask you, I haven't said this in a while, have I? I haven't pulled my cheeks down in a while. But this is all this is a carton. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's a carton, like a carton of milk. What happens when the milk is gone? It's thrown away. What happens when the Spirit departs? It's just thrown away. It's buried. Because it's just the carton. And we in the flesh love to live by the carton, by the flesh. And I don't want to live that way. I want to live God-directed, not self-directed. I want to live the way God wants me to live. Even when it's bad, even when it's ugly, even when it's hard, and even when I'm going through hard circumstances. And that's what I wrote down that year. I wrote down these four things, and I began a journey that I would thank God for everything. Matter of fact, this first thing, I stayed on this first thing. I want to give thanks in everything, for everything. I stayed on it for months. I didn't get to the next three, although they were kind of weaving in my life at that time. But I want to just tell you that I just began to do it. And even when it was hard, it got easy.
That was easy.
And I'm just going to tell you, I got into such a habit in that time. It was just, thank you.
That was easy.
Here it goes. And it got easier. It did. A number of years ago, right after this, I pulled this thing out and I said, I wish I had a thank you button. And about 2 weeks later, I got a thank you button. And so this thing, and I'm just saying this, is that I want to be able to walk through life with that kind of spontaneity. This is kind of a little bit longer. It's in about five different languages. Yeah.
Arigato.
Thank you. Bam. Thank you for this. God, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I'm going to tell you this, you don't have to like it. You don't have to be comfortable. But all I'm saying is, as I began this journey, and I'm going to tell you, I began saying in my heart, supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. Supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. I want to tell you that even in the negative things, I would just be prompted. God, I don't like this, but God, I'm thanking you for it. Lord, I don't understand why you would want me to thank you for this, but I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And you know, as I did that, I would see, not all the time, but most of the time, things change in my heart and things change in the circumstances. Sometimes it happened really quick. Sometimes it took a little time. But nevertheless, as I move through the trial and I move through the struggle, and there's struggles that I can't even talk to you about right now because they're private. And they're private of other people, people's lives. But I just want to tell you, I began thinking and saying, gosh, supernatural things happen when we thank God for everything. Now, I know some of you might have a struggle with this, but I want you to look at this passage of Scripture with me for just a moment. Because this is what giving thanks in everything means. This is what it means. This is what you do. Notice, verse 16, rejoice always. Let me say, when you go to the Greek language and you open it up, do you know what the word always means? Always. Always. Not 95% of the time, not 80% of the time, not 50% of the time, not 99.9 times. No, you rejoice always. You are rejoicing in Him, you're rejoicing in your circumstances, you're rejoicing in this God who can mold and take those circumstances and move them for the glory of God. Rejoice always. Second thing he says, pray without ceasing. That there is such a movement of God in my life that I'm walking in Him like I walk in a relationship with somebody, but it's constant. It's a constant walk. It's a constant move of a communication with our great God. It's where God is speaking to me and where I'm speaking back to God, where I'm hearing from God and I'm responding to God. Pray without ceasing. Again, what does without ceasing mean? It means don't stop. You keep doing it. And you move through life rejoicing and praying. And then he says this, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for your life. Now, let me just break that down for a moment. The word thanks in the original language is called eucharisteo. Eucharisteo. It's just thanksgiving or giving thanks. And it just means to be grateful, to feel thankful, to give thanks. The word in means, in the original language, means it's pointing to a time, place, or state. And everything means all things, whatever is happening in every time, every place, in every state that you find yourself. And I'm not talking about the United States. I'm talking about the state that you find yourself in, whether it is a good state, a hard state, an easy state, or a struggling state. In everything, I give thanks. I give thanks. I want to just ask you to right now, to believe this word. Now you say, Mike, you know, Mike, I can give thanks in everything, but I just can't give thanks for everything. Well, let me give you a verse, a scripture. It's Ephesians, right? It's that next one, right? It says, always giving thanks for what? For all things. in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. I just believe I want to thank God for everything. Now, you know, that's kind of hard, isn't it? So if that's too hard for you, then give thanks in everything. Whatever works for you. I'm challenging you in this Thanksgiving season, which we have so much to be thankful for, is to have to move into a life of Thanksgiving, that no matter what's happening, no matter what's the struggle, I'm going to give thanks for. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have gone through really tough times and you look back and you thank God for it? Well, why not do it in the moment? Because we've always seen God at work. We've always seen God working out his good pleasure in our lives, taking the bad, taking the ugly, taking the hard, taking the difficult, and doing something supernatural with it. Giving thanks in everything. I promise you, you will see supernatural things happen. Now, you know, I was preaching this pretty quick after October 2011, because Thanksgiving season was coming. And I kind of extended it. And I had someone in our church come to me and say, hey, I'm reading a book right now that sounds a whole lot like what you're preaching through. And I went, really? And it's a book called A Thousand Gifts by Anne Vascomp. If I mispronounce it, don't correct me. until later. And I got the book and I put it aside because I wanted to work some things out on my own. And of course I picked it up and she says it so much more eloquently than me. And this is what she says. Thanksgiving precedes the miracle. Did you hear that? Thanksgiving precedes the miracle. Supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. You know, she began a journey of just writing down 1,000 things that she wanted to be thankful for. And about a year later, I started doing that, just going to thank God. But mine's thanking God for everything, not you know, just for everything, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly. And I want to tell you this right now. I'm about like 4,500 things that I have written down. Probably about a tenth of them. Or is my wife, John Ann, okay, because I'm always kind of going back, maybe a little more, okay, kids and things like that. But I want to tell you, I look back on this thank you journal, and I say, man, I thank God for that. What in the world? Well, what happened? What happened after that? Miracle came. A miracle came. A miracle came. A miracle took place. And I look back over this. I look back over the last 2 years, and I go through my journal, and I look at the numbers, and I think, oh, my gosh, how could you thank God for that? But, Mike, what happened? You're going to thank me for it later? You're going to thank me for it now? Because I'm at work, and I'm always at work in the difficult, the ugly, the hard. Is that not right? Amen. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One of the things that we've learned, when we look at the New Testament, how many times in the Gospels where the word Eucharist Deo is spoken and a miracle takes place afterwards. It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. Giving thanks for everything. And then just what is the power of thanksgiving, or thanking God in and for everything? Let me give you a few things. Number one, giving thanks reminds you of who you are and what you have and who you belong to. Okay, no, that's not all in your notes. But who you are, what you have, and who you belong to. When I give thanks to God, I'm reminded that I'm a grateful child of God. I'm a grateful child of God. Do you remember when Job, When the enemy came and took everything away from him, everything, including his health. And do you know what his wife said? Curse God and die. That's what she said. Curse God and die. And he says, you're speaking as someone who would speak foolishness. And then he said, should we not accept good and adversity from our great God. And I think that when I thank God that I know who I am, I know what I have, and I know that I have everything I need to live a godly life in every time, in every place, in every state. That, by the way, is 2 Peter chapter 2, where he says his magnificent promise is that he's given us everything we need to live godly in Christ. And the second thing it reminds me of is that I'm a victor in Christ. I don't think it might be a little different in your word, but yeah, a victor in spiritual warfare. It reminds me that as I look back over thanking God for everything in that moment, or pretty close to that moment, that I find victory in my life. I find a great peace in the lordship of Jesus and the control of God, and that God is in control, and I believe that with all my heart. And just speaking that, I begin to experience this spiritual warfare. I can't tell you how many times that in my temptation to grumble and complain or do whatever else, when I use the strategy to thank God, the enemy flees. He flees. And I find that I'm walking in victory in spiritual warfare. And then the third thing it reminds me of is that I'm a witness of great and mighty things. I'm a witness of great and mighty things. That I can look back over my life and thank God for them, but also in the moment thank God for whatever's happening, whatever's taking place, and being a witness of the miracles that God wants to do in my life as a result of my response to Him in the midst of trial, tribulation, and hardship. You know another way to say this? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto Him. Do you know another way to say this? A momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory while we look not at the temporal things, but the eternal things. That's all we're talking about. We're talking about getting our eyes off the stuff, the junk, the heartache, the things that I'm going through, and looking up to Him and looking to Him first and foremost. We do that by thanking Him, confessing that He's Lord, and trusting Him with all of our hearts, that no matter what we're going through, we're going to come out the other side, and we're going to say, I don't want to go through that again, but I do not regret it. I wouldn't want to trade it for anything in the world, because this great God did this in my life, and I thank Him for it. I thank Him for it, even in the things that do not make sense. And I'm talking about loss, and I'm talking about death, and I'm talking about all kinds of things that we face in a fallen world. Our great God is causing all these things to work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Crowd noise. Yeah. And that's what thank you's all about. I'm thanking a sovereign God for the circumstances. And you know, I just want to say, a lot of times this takes just an act of my will to do it. It just does. God, I'm struggling with this. But in the name of Jesus, and by an act of my will, I will thank You for it. And I will thank You in it. Because I know You're greater than the circumstances. And I know You have the big picture of our lives. Now watch this, of our lives, of our children, of our family, of our marriage, of our finances, of our careers. You have the bigger picture, because all these things are great gifts from You, but there's one thing more important, and that is the salvation and the justification and the sanctification of Your children, of Your sons and daughters, for the glory of God. And that's what He's doing. So I want to give thanks. I get to give witness to the great and mighty things which God has done in my life. And then giving thanks in everything points to Jesus. Points to Jesus. Some really phenomenal things that took place in the life of Jesus when He gave thanks. I mean, and when He saw people giving thanks. And then third, thanksgiving reaps miracles and blessings. Reaps miracles and blessings. What I want to do is I want to share with you just some really briefly from things from the New Testament and the Old Testament where somebody gave thanks, and this supernatural things happened. They're quite phenomenal, really. And then next week, we're going to get together and we're going to look at the death of Jesus, and we're going to participate in Lord's Supper next week. And I'm so excited to do that, because here is the great Eucharisteo, the Thanksgiving meal by which, when Jesus broke the bread and gave the juice or the wine as the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus, he gave thanks. And miracles took place after that Thanksgiving and that actual giving of his life. You know, when I look at Scripture, I see things like Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. 10 lepers are healed by Jesus. One returns and gives thanks, gives Eucharisteo, and he receives salvation. I want to only look at this one in detail today. So go to Luke chapter 17, verse 11, and I want to just walk you through the story and give you some principles on crying out to God and giving thanks for the good things in your life. Verse 11, chapter 17. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he had entered a village. As he entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Here's a chorus, so to speak, of 10 lepers. Now, I don't know if you understand what leprosy is. It's where a bacterium gets into the nervous system and destroys the feeling. It goes into the cerebral cortex, I think, and into the brain. And it affects the skin because of dead nerves. Number one, it's contagious, okay? It's contagious by the droplets that come out of your breath. And it disfigures you. It causes your nose to do and your ears to swell. You lose feeling in your hands and in your feet, so that when you stump something, you don't really know you hurt yourself. And therefore, people got very, very deformed. And they were castaways. And they said, "Look, You can't see your mom, and you can't see your dad, and you can't see your brother, and you can't see your son, and you can't see your daughter, and you can't see your grandchildren, and you can't see any of these things because you're contagious, and we're just going to put you in this leper colony the rest of your life." It's a horrible disease. The Jews thought that that it was because of some sin that you did that you got leprosy. And they were outcast, and they were spoken against, and they were kept away from the larger population. If family could not visit, no one could really take care of you. They were in poverty. They were in filth. They didn't get their clothes washed. They didn't get baths. None of those things. And everything they touched or hit caused damage to their fingers and to their feet and to other parts of their body. Wasn't pretty. But they hear about Jesus. They hear what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing. And I don't know if they got a little meeting together, but when they saw Jesus passing by, they begin to cry out, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on us." Can I tell you something? You've heard me say this before as we went through the Beatitudes here. You know one of the greatest things that you can pray when you don't know what to pray? "Oh God, would you have mercy on me? Oh God, would you have mercy on us? Oh God, would you have mercy on so-and-so?" And then, you know, when you do know what to do, you know it's a good thing to pray? "God, would you have mercy on so-and-so? Oh God, would you have mercy on this situation? Oh God, would you have mercy on me? Would you have mercy on this disease? Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on these friends of mine." They cry out for mercy. And I want you to notice what Jesus says. He says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. You know what I love about Jesus? You can't put Jesus in a box. Amen. We love to put Jesus in a box. He worked this way in my life. He needs to work in your way, in your life the same way. So we're going to just kind of, we're going to try to make something happen the way God worked in my life. I want to tell you, God did things different. He did it different in the book of Acts. And I think that's a powerful, powerful thing. That God, you can't put God in a box. And I want to say this because it's like it reminds me of when Naaman in the Old Testament, who's a leper and called for the priest or the prophet. And when the prophet came, he didn't even go to his door. He said, go wash yourself in the Jordan. Go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And he was mad. He was angry. This guy didn't even come to my door. He's telling me to go dip myself in the Jordan. Now listen, I've got so many great rivers and clean and pure rivers. I want to go to this nasty Jordan. And he has servants. Said the servant said, oh, master, what were you expecting? That he was going to come and wave his hands and do something? I don't know. You would have done what he asked you to do. Let's go just do it. This man understood something. That if God says he's going to do it this way, he's going to do it that way. And I mean, tell you, he goes and he dips himself 7 times and he comes out pure snow, white, pure snow. I want to tell you that right now. There's no more blemishes on him. He comes out with no more leprosy. And all of a sudden, this guy, God says to the, Jesus says to these folks, hey, go, show yourselves to priests. You mean you're not going to touch us? You're not going to pray over us? You're not going to shout out the devil? You're not going to cast it out? You're not going to say, be gone? You're not going to do it that way? I mean, we get so tripped up sometimes. And all God says, go show yourself to the priest. That's all you got to do. And here they do. They leave Jesus, and they go to show themselves to the priest. And I'm telling you, on the way, the priest, they get healed up, all 10 of them, at the same time. No progress in this thing. It's all done. And 9, the scripture says, goes on his way. Goes on their way. Watch this. He says, and so now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up, go, your faith. Now I want to say this, what it says literally, your faith has saved you. Word sozo. Your faith has saved you. We can say all day long that being healed of leprosy was a great miracle, and it was. But a greater miracle happened that day. This foreigner, this Samaritan, found the Lord Jesus, while the other 9 did not. Maybe one day, but not that day. Why? Because he gave thanks. And this is what I'm saying to us, that when you give thanks for everything, the good like this, the bad, the hard, God comes and he does supernatural things. I mean, and don't do this, just really briefly, John 6, Jesus gives thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds 5,000 men and their families. Jonah 2:9, after 3 days in the belly of a fish, he finally stops complaining after 3 days, and he finally gives thanks, and the fish spits him out. And by the way, as we talked last week, you can either grumble about it or you can give thanks for it. You can either grumble about your circumstances or you can give thanks in and for your circumstances. But again, this carton It wants to grumble and complain and murmur, doesn't it? And oh, we'll complain about everything and grumble about everything. But I want to tell you, the moment you give thanks, grumbling flees. It goes out the window, and all of a sudden your whole perspective changes. It happened to Jonah in the belly of a fish after 3 days. I'm telling you, he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. And I mean, he just folds his, I guess he folds his arms and says, I'm not having anything to do with it. And he's in this fish for 3 days. Some of us have been in the belly of a fish for 10 months. We've been in circumstances from our attitude. We can go years and years in a belly of a fish. God's so faithful, isn't he? 3 days, 3 years, 30 years. When you start worshiping your great God again, I want to tell you, the fish spits you out. Supernatural things happen when you give thanks for everything. Miracles come. Things change in my life, in my heart. John 11 at the tomb of Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days. Jesus is going to raise him, but he said, and when he goes, he gives thanks. And what happens? Lazarus comes forth. Luke 22, Jesus gives thanks for a broken body, spilt blood, and salvation is offered to the whole world. Always giving thanks for everything will position you one step closer to where God is bringing you. Tweet that. Quote that. Always giving thanks for everything positions you one step closer to where God is bringing you. I love the story of Acts chapter 16. I don't have time to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And you'll thank me for it. Paul and Silas have been thrown into an Ephesus jail for proclaiming the word and delivering a demon-possessed girl who her slave owners were making a profit. And when the demon left her, they could no longer make a profit out of her. So what they did was, profit, I mean P-R-O-F-I-T, not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, okay. Profit was gone. And so they're upset, and so they incite the crowd, and next thing you know, they're beaten. And they're beaten almost to death. And they're thrown in the deepest dungeon. I'm just going to tell you this. Historians and theologians say that when they were placed down into the pit of the prison, that's the sewer. That is the sewer. It's the bottom part. And they're in there, and they're in stocks, and they're in bonds, and they're in chains. Having been beaten like Jesus was beaten with the cat of nine tails. And you know what the Bible says? About midnight, they started praising God. I want to tell you, if you're a God praiser, you're a God thanker. I don't know if that's right English, but I want to tell you, that's what you are. You thank God when you praise God. Some of the hardest circumstances, the uncertainty of that hour. Will we die in this place? Will we live in this place? We have wounds on us. We've been beaten 39 times with a cat of nine tails, and we are in a desperate way. But in their desperation, they started praising and thanking their great God. And you know the story if you're familiar with it. All of a sudden, earthquake comes, chains are broken, doors are opened, and instead of running out, they stay where they're at, and the jailer hears it, puts the lights on, realizes they've escaped, so he's going to kill himself because he's responsible for it, and he'll get punished severely for it, so he'd rather just kill himself. And Paul yells out, "Do no harm. We're all here." The very guy that probably beat him, locked him up, treated him ruthlessly, said, "We don't want any harm to come to you. We're still here." And the Bible says he came and he fell at their knees and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you have?" Amen. I'm going to tell you this. I believe this with all my heart. While they were being beaten, Not once did they revile like Jesus didn't revile. Not once did they complain. Not once did they murmur. Not once did they threaten. Not once did they do that. They took the beating for the love and the glory of God, and they thank God for it and praise God for it. And all of a sudden, a miracle takes place. This guy comes, brings him to their house, washes him up, cleans him, comes to Jesus. His whole household comes to Jesus. And all of a sudden, along with the rich women of Ephesus, a church is born. But because they thank God and worshiped him. For and in the midst of such great hardship. Listen, believe it with all my heart. Giving thanks, always giving thanks for everything, positions you one step closer to where God is bringing you. Thanksgiving changes your perspective. Thanksgiving unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and even more. Thanksgiving turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It turns a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger or enemy into a friend. Thanksgiving makes sense of our past and brings peace for the day. When you thank God for everything, you have a grasp for what God's will is for your life. You have a growing faith in the providence of God. When you thank God for everything, you're willing to look foolish. It means you're willing to place every circumstance in the hands of God, which in reality they already are. It means you see and confess Jesus as Lord. You choose to see the good God is accomplishing. You choose to be happy. And if not deliriously happy, you at least find contentment. You put off grumbling, complaint, and discontentment, thanking God for all that he's given and all that he's doing. You believe your circumstances furthers the will of God and the expansion of the gospel. You choose to be led by the Spirit according to his word. And you're willing to be a greater vessel for his glory. When you thank God for everything, you find out the great and lasting joy comes not because of good circumstances, but because of the hand of God. You suffer in a manner worthy of the Lord. And then when you thank God for everything, your ache seems to be relieved as you know that for the believer, weeping may last through the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for your life. And instead of saying, thanks a lot, God, which some of you want to say in complaint, I turn to my Lord, I turn to my Savior, I turn to my Heavenly Father, and Lord, I say thank you. It's hard. It's difficult, but you're Lord. And I want to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I want to love this neighbor as myself. I want to be led by your Spirit. Because if I continue to grumble and complain about this, I will produce the deeds of the flesh. And there's nothing happy and good about producing the deeds of the flesh. So God, we give you a heart of thankfulness today. We dare, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the hard that's going on right now, the difficult that's going on right now, the uneasy that's going on right now. We thank you for the good. We thank you for the easy. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. We give thanks for everything. And God, as I pray that as we take these four things, Lord, especially this first one, I want to pray that, Lord, this would become a habit for every one of us in this room today. And it would be like that easy button. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then we watch. And then we record the miracles of God because we chose to walk according to the scripture. I pray that for everyone in here. I do. Because I believe, Lord, that when we thank you for the hard, the next thing that we'll do, the difficult, the things that went wrong, all of a sudden we'll start walking in joy and we'll forgive like we've never forgiven before. We'll do the things that we never dreamed we'd ever do in the circumstances that we'd found ourselves in. Because God, you're a great and awesome God. We give thanks for it all. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. That's my prayer, that you'll go from this place thanking God in the midst of what might be hard, what might be difficult, what's easy, what's good, what's beautiful, what's ugly. And then come tell me about it. Come give testimony of what God's doing as a result of a grateful heart. Would you stand with me?